Ways and Means Committee will come to order. Rosa, please call the roll.
Chair McLean.
Here.
Vice Chair Buchanan.
Here.
Majority Whip Lamarca.
Here.
Ranking Member Escalante.
Here.
Representatives Alvarez.
Here.
Bankson.
Here.
Barnaby, excused. Burfield.
Here.
Campbell. Caruso.
Here.
Casello. Duggan.
Here.
Fabricio.
Here.
Hart. Holcomb.
Here.
Killebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
Rayner. Roach.
Present.
Robinson, excused. Roth.
Here.
Saroy.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Tant.
Here.
Valdez.
Good afternoon, present.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Rosa. Members and those in the audience, please silence all of your electronic devices. We'd appreciate that. Members, I kind of want to just lead off a little bit by just talking about why I thought it was important to have this presentation today. As the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee for the past two sessions, it's become evident to me that there are a lot of people, counties, cities who think that, who maybe don't understand all of the nuances to the tourist development tax and how it can be used. They probably don't have an idea of somehow how some of this got set up. And we had several bills filed this session and last session that dealt with specific parts of the TD tax and how people wanted to change it. I don't know if that's good public policy for us to do it in a manner where we make a decision based on a bill that's filed by a member as it relates to maybe one part of the state. Not saying that they don't have merit. A lot of them probably do have some merit, but I don't know if that's the, again, I don't think that's the best way for us to set public policy. And so with that, I just wanted to help all of you become familiar with some of the uses and how the TD, there will be some historic information given, so that's the purpose. There's no different agenda here other than to just make sure everyone's educated. I knew none of y'all had nothing to do this afternoon, so I thought I would use that time to do this, but that's, that's really the case. Is I just wanted us all to be able to kind of have a good understanding of the taxes, the tax, the way that they're set up, how they're supposed to, what uses each penny can be used for. And then as it relates to those in the public, it will be open to comment from you all. Please sign up ahead of time if you would. If you haven't, obviously I'll still recognize you, and we'll just make sure you sign a paper before we get done. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Kimberly Berg, and she has spent a fair amount of time on this. When I got a preview of the presentation yesterday, and I don't know how she got it all together, just because there's so many moving parts to it, but I think, and then probably what I'll do as well is if we'll get through the presentation, and then I'll open it up for questions from the members, and then when the public speaks, I will also, if the person, whoever's speaking, is willing, I would let you ask, some questions of them too. And so I just really, this is more informational than it is for any other purpose. And with that, I'll turn it over to Kim. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair McLean. Good afternoon, members. As the chair just mentioned, this presentation on tourist development taxes, or TDTs, is meant to give you a little history on TDTs in Florida, an understanding of the current taxes and what they can be used for, and a picture of who's paying these taxes and how much is being collected. I'd like to start by mentioning what is not covered in this presentation. There are other tourism-related taxes that can kind of fall into this category. The municipal resort tax, convention development taxes, and the tourist impact tax, for example. While those are generally levied on the same tax base as TDTs, they are not actually part of today's presentation, where we are focusing on section 125.0104, tourist development taxes. I'd like to give you a brief overview to kind of set the stage for our discussion today. As you likely know, TDTs are local taxes that are levied by counties on transient rentals. They're levied in addition to the state sales tax, any local option sales tax, or any other tourism-related tax. 62 of Florida's 67 counties currently levy at least one TDT, and in the current fiscal year, 2023-24, TDTs are expected to generate roughly $1.8 billion statewide for local governments. Now, a little history. The Local Option Tourist Development Act was first adopted in 1977. It was a single tax that could be either 1% or 2% of the fee charged for a transient rental. The staff analysis from the original bill didn't speak to what the original reason for the bill might have been, but did characterize the tax as to generate revenues to fund tourist-related programs. To that end, the original tax could be used only for essentially two things: specified facilities or tourism promotion. More specifically, the original tax as first adopted could only be used to acquire, construct, extend, enlarge, remodel, repair, improve, maintain, operate, and promote one or more publicly owned and operated convention centers, sports stadiums, sports arenas, coliseums, or auditoriums, or to promote and advertise tourism or fund tourism information bureaus. Osceola County was the first county to levy the tax, which they did in that first year, and five more counties quickly followed in 1978. Since 1977, the Tourism Development Act has expanded a lot. The act currently includes five different taxes, including that original 1% or 2% TDT. There's also the additional TDT, which is 1%, was levied in authorized in 1986. The professional sports franchise facility tax that was authorized in 1988, the high tourism impact tax, which was authorized in 1989, and the additional professional sports franchise facility tax that was authorized in 1994. These taxes can be used for a variety of things, but they are all levied on transient rentals. This seems like a good time to explain what a transient rental is. So section 125.0104-3A provides that every person who rents, leases, or lets for consideration any living quarters or accommodations in any hotel, apartment hotel, motel, resort motel, apartment motel, rooming house, mobile home park, recreational vehicle park, condominium, or timeshare resort is exercising a taxable privilege. The statutory definition does pick up exemptions from Chapter 212. I'm not going to go into every exemption in Chapter 212, which is the chapter related to sales tax, but for our purposes, the main exemptions to be aware of are in Section 212.03, which is related to transient rentals. These exemptions include things related to the duration of the transient rental. So transient rentals are, by their nature, transient or short-term. A rental that has a bona fide written lease for at least 6 months is exempt from the outset. A rental that takes place for more than 6 months becomes exempt on the first day of the seventh month. There are also exemptions related to the purchaser of the transient rental.
I'm sorry. It's okay. Oh. Okay. Okay, hold on. We have a, Kimberly, we didn't know you had a fan club coming this afternoon, but maybe so. Kimberly, maybe try coming closer to the microphone, or is there any way to give her a little more volume?
Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. this seems like a good time to explain what a transient rental is. The statute provides that every person who rents, leases, or lets for consideration any of that long list of types of facilities on the slide is exercising a privilege subject to taxation under the statute unless the rental is exempt pursuant to Chapter 212. Chapter 212 is the chapter related to sales taxes, has many exemptions. For our purposes, the primary exemptions to be aware of are in Section 212.03 related to transient rentals. And those kind of fall into two categories. There are exemptions related to the duration of the transient rental. So So a transient rental that has at least a six-month bona fide written lease is exempt from the beginning. If there is no bona fide written lease, a transient rental becomes exempt on the first day of the seventh month. There are also exemptions related to the purchaser of the transient rental. For example, under the statute, a full-time college student or an active duty member of the military does not pay TDT on their residence, even if it's for less than 6 months.
Excuse me. Rep Roach has a question he'd like to ask.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you for indulging me. And I know that I could look this up, and I should know the answer to this, but I don't. Airbnb, VRBO fall under this provision? They're subject to the tax?
You recognize?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I'm good.
Recognized.
All right, we're going to move on to where a TDT can be levied. As you might guess, a county can only levy a TDT within its own jurisdiction. The statute provides more specifically that a county may levy and impose a TDT within its boundaries, other than in any cities or towns that presently impose the municipal resort tax. That's three cities in Miami-Dade County, or in a sub-county special district of the county, as long as the district shall embrace all or a significant contiguous portion of the county. There are four counties that currently levy at least one TDT in a sub-county special district. Moving on to how TDTs can be levied. Until last year, only the original TDT required a referendum approval by voters. The others were imposed by a vote of the county's governing body, or in some cases by a referendum, could be. For the pro sports TDT, a simple majority of the governing board could levy it. For the additional TDT and high tourism impact TDT, an extraordinary vote of the governing board was required. And for the additional pro sports, a vote of majority plus one was required. As of July 1, 2023, the statute removed those guidelines and instead provides that a county may only levy and impose any of the five TDTs by an ordinance approved by a majority of voters at a referendum held at a general election. There are other restrictions for some of the TDTs. For example, the original 1% or 2% TDT also requires that the county appoint a county tourist development council. That council must prepare and submit a plan for tourist development, including the anticipated revenue for the first 2 years of the levy, where the levy is going to apply, whether it's county or sub-county, and a list in priority order of projects or uses for those revenues. The plan is required to be incorporated into the ordinance that is voted on at the referendum. The additional TDT requires that the original TDT be levied for at least 3 years before the additional TDT can become effective. The high tourism impact TDT is limited to counties that have TDTs levied in the previous calendar year that exceed $600 million, or the county had at least $200 million in taxable transient rental sales, and TDTs were at least 18% of the county's collections from those sales, as certified by DOR. Section 125.0104 also generally limits counties that levy convention development taxes to only levying the original TDT and the pro sports TDT, up to a total of 3%. This impacts Duval, Miami-Dade, and Volusia counties. Duval County is also able to levy the additional pro sports levy, even though it levies a 2% convention development tax. How long is a TDT levied for? Forever. Section 125.0104 has no maximum duration for a TDT. It does allow, at least in theory, for the acting ordinance to provide an expiration date. Section 125.0104 sub 7 does provide that any TDT used for the construction or operation of a public facility expires upon the later of bond retirement or the expiration of an operational agreement, but does allow for those agreements to be extended indefinitely. Of the 210 current levies among 62 counties, it appears that no ordinance includes a scheduled expiration date. A breakdown of those levies showing expiration dates, or lack thereof, is included in the appendix for today's presentation. Originally, all TDTs were administered through the Department of Revenue. All taxes were sent to DOR, which then sent the revenues back to the counties for use. Since 1989, counties have been able to locally administer TDTs if the county adopts an ordinance providing for local administration. If it does not elect to administer locally, the Department of Revenue continues to administer those taxes. A county that locally administers the tax may retain no more than 3% of the tax for administrative costs. If the department administers the tax, the agency is authorized to retain the actual cost of administration. Per communication with DOR recently, they don't currently charge anything for that service. A county that chooses to self-administer must clarify in the ordinance if it will also audit dealers and enforce payment of delinquent taxes, or if DOR will handle those aspects of administration. Of the 62 counties that levy at least one TDT, 41 self-administer collections and 21 have the Department of Revenue handle collections. So now we're going to get into the fun part, what TDTs can be used for. So this is going to be the largest section of the presentation because there's a lot that these things can be used for. That said, I want to start the discussion of allowable uses by highlighting that while there are a lot of authorized uses, they are restricted uses. This is not general revenue for counties, unlike some of the other local taxes we've talked about this year. These can only be used as provided in statute. The allowable uses vary quite a bit, and actual uses do vary quite a bit from county to county. But since 2002, all five TDTs can be used to promote and advertise tourism in the state of Florida and nationally and internationally, with the caveat that if tax revenues are expended for an activity, service, venue, or event, that event, activity, service, venue has to have as one of its main purposes the attraction of tourists, as evidenced by the promotion for that event. Other than tourism promotion, which all five taxes can be used for, I'm next going to focus on uses that three of the five taxes share. The original TDT, additional TDT, and high tourism impact TDT can all be levied for the same set of uses. As you might assume, the uses must generally apply to the county or sub-county district where that tax is levied. So the first thing they can be used for is to acquire, construct, extend, enlarge, remodel, repair, improve, maintain, operate, or promote one or more publicly owned and operated convention centers, sports stadiums, sports arenas, coliseums, or auditoriums. They can be used for auditoriums that are publicly owned and open to the public but are operated by a 501c3. And they can also apply to aquariums or museums that are publicly owned and operated or owned and operated by not-for-profits and open to the public. These three taxes can also be used to promote zoos that are publicly owned and operated or owned and operated by not-for-profits, to fund convention bureaus, tourist information centers, and news bureaus as county agencies or by contract, including any indirect costs of the county, to finance beach park facilities or beach, channel, estuary, or lagoon improvement, maintenance, renourishment, restoration, and erosion control, including construction of beach groins and shoreline protection, to finance the enhancement, cleanup, or restoration of inland lakes and rivers to which there's public access. And those last couple of things are specific to as those uses relate to the physical preservation of the beach, shoreline, channel, estuary, lagoon, or inland lake or river. In addition to those specific uses, the original TDT, additional TDT, and high tourism TDT can be used to secure and liquidate revenue bonds or issue refunding bonds for any of the purposes available above to all the counties, other than tourism promotion or the funding of tourism-related centers or bureaus. There is no general restriction on the bonding for most of those projects. However, no more than 50% of the revenues may be pledged for bonding related to beach improvements or other water-related projects. In addition to all of those options that apply to all of the counties, there are also things that those three taxes can be used for only by a certain subset of counties. For example, a county with a population under 950,000 may use TDT revenues to acquire, construct, extend, enlarge, remodel, repair, improve, maintain, operate, or promote one or more zoos, fishing piers, or nature centers, which are publicly owned and operated or owned and operated by a nonprofit. This is available to 60 of the 67 counties right now based on population. This slide may look familiar to some of you as this provision was just amended in last year's tax package. So this provides that a county adjacent to the Gulf of Mexico or the Atlantic Ocean, other than Monroe County, which is either a fiscally constrained county, which was added last year, or generates at least 10 million in TDTs, has at least three municipalities, and has a population of less than 275,000, they can use up to 10% of the tax revenue received to reimburse expenses incurred in providing public safety services, which are needed to address impacts related to increased tourism and visitors to their area. In order for this use to be available, the Board of County Commissioners and the Tourist Development Council have to approve that use. Right now, there are 9 counties that have this option available to them. In addition, additional public facility projects are allowed in a county that received at least $10 million in TDD taxes the previous year, has 2/3 of the governing body approve the proposed vote, ensures no more than 70% of the cost will be paid for with TDT revenue, spends at least 40% of all TDT revenue in the county to promote tourism, and solicits an independent professional analysis for the project. They are able to acquire, construct, extend, enlarge, remodel, repair, improve, maintain, operate, or finance major capital improvements that have a life expectancy of 5 or more years, including, but not limited to, transportation projects, sanitary sewer, solid waste, drainage, potable water, and pedestrian facilities. These provisions were added in 2018. That wraps up the available uses for the original TDT, additional TDT, and high tourism impact TDT. Moving on to the other two TDTs, the Pro Sports Facility Franchise Facility TDT and the additional Pro Sports Franchise Facility TDT. Both of these, as mentioned earlier, can be used for the promotion of tourism. In addition to that, they can be used to pay the debt service on bonds issued to finance the construction, reconstruction, or renovation of a professional sports franchise facility, or to pay the debt service on bonds issued for the acquisition, construction, reconstruction, or renovation of a retained spring training franchise facility. These facilities can be either publicly owned and operated, or publicly owned but operated by the owner of a professional sports franchise or other lessee that has the right experience to do it well. Our last authorized use is for the Pro Sports Franchise Facility TDT. This tax can also be used for the construction, reconstruction, renovation, operation, and maintenance of a convention center. Operational costs are generally limited to 10 years for this tax, unless the county used this particular TDT to finance the construction, reconstruction, or renovation of that center, in which case the operational costs may be paid out of the TDT for the life of the bonds. At this point, you may be wondering how often these taxes are changed by the legislature for us to have gotten to all of those many, many uses. Since it was adopted in 1977, Section 125.0104 has been amended 63 times. After looking at all of them, they fall into 3 general categories. There were 4 amendments that adopted those new taxes we just talked about. 25 of the amendments made changes to the authorized uses of one or more of the taxes. And the remaining amendments were technical, things like updating cross-references or wording, administrative, providing guidance on how taxes were levied or collected, or unrelated to the use or imposition of these taxes. For example, public records requirements, adding or changing penalties, or adding or removing other taxes. Believe it or not, this section actually had 2 whole other taxes at one point that we're not talking about today. This chart shows you over time when these taxes have been enacted by counties. The original TDT, created by the legislature in 1977, was adopted by most counties before the year 2000. The additional TDT, created in 1986, has had a pretty smooth adoption curve over time. The Pro Sports TDT, adopted in 1988, and additional Pro Sports TDT, adopted in 1994, were primarily adopted by counties between 2000 and 2019. The High Tourism Impact TDT, adopted in 1986, has been slowly adopted as counties reach the necessary revenue thresholds. There are currently 210 individual taxes levied by 62 counties. Now to look at how much is being collected. As a snapshot of current TDT revenues, these are the estimated collections for the current fiscal year 2023-24. I've broken them out by the tax so that you can see what each tax is expected to bring in statewide. You'll note the original tax brings in the most, but that makes sense as all 62 counties do levy at the 2% rate for that one. The other taxes at 1% vary in collections based on which counties levy them. This slide shows you how TDT collections have grown over the last 40 years and also how significantly they've increased over just the last few years. In fiscal year 2018-19, just before the pandemic, collections topped $1 billion for the first time statewide. They dropped to roughly $850 million for the 2 hardest hit years of the pandemic, before increasing to $1.5 billion last year and an estimated $1.8 billion this year. Just 10 years ago, statewide collections were about $660 million. Those revenues have more than doubled, nearly tripled, since then. I'm going to talk briefly about who's paying this tax. It's frequently mentioned that this is a tax levied on visitors. I wanted to take just a couple of minutes to kind of look into that. As you know, these taxes apply to in-state visitors as well as out-of-state visitors. If you take your kids to the beach for spring break or to the theme park during summer, you're probably paying TDTs. I asked the Office of Economic and Demographic Research if they had any way to estimate what percentage of TDTs are paid by Florida residents. Based on visitor data, they estimated that roughly 21.4% of collections are paid by Floridians. That's more than $1 in every $5 that's collected. As an example, based on the fiscal year EDR used for their calculations, statewide collections in fiscal year 2021-2022 were roughly $1.2 billion. Floridians paid roughly $257 million of that. Taking that a step further to understand how much Floridians paid without ever approving a tax in a referendum, for that fiscal year, 62 original 2-cent taxes were levied. That, at least originally, must have been approved by a referendum. May have been 45 years ago, but it was approved at a referendum. Assuming the other 145 taxes were not approved at a referendum, which seems likely, $138.6 million in TDTs were levied on Floridians without ever being voted on. I'm going to finish up today by talking about what the legislature has done recently. The legislature has adopted changes to Section 125.0104 8 times in the last 10 years. These changes range from minor technical updates to entirely new uses for certain taxes. For example, as I mentioned earlier, allowing taxes to be used for certain infrastructure projects like sewer and pedestrian facilities was added in 2018. Most recently, in 2023, the legislature adopted provisions requiring all new TDTs to be approved in a referendum and adjusting the allowable counties that can use TDTs for public safety reimbursements. TDTs continue to be a very popular topic in the legislature. This year alone, in addition to the proposed changes in the tax package, 4 bills were filed in the House to address TDT uses. 2 were specific to individual counties, and 2 were proposing statewide changes. I've provided this list for you in case you wanted to look at them later. I hope that gave you some helpful information on tourist development taxes. If you have questions, I'm happy to answer them. I do want to mention that the meeting packet for today also included several charts for your reference. They came from the Local Government Financial Information Handbook produced by EDR, the Office of Economic and Demographic Research. They break out for you what taxes are levied by each county, the history of when those taxes were adopted, and what the expected revenues for each county will be. And with that, Mr. Chair, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Kim, thank you for putting that together. Members, obviously, there was a great deal of work that went into that, but thank you for doing that. We're in questions. Please refrain from comments at this time. If we have time, I'll let you make a few comments at the end, but if we could just kind of stick to questions for now, that would be good, and then I'll let whoever from the public, and then, again, you'll have opportunity to ask questions of anyone that is from the public that would like to answer a question, I guess. Representative Roth, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Kim. That was pretty fast. I think the phrase we have heard before is drinking from a fire hose. Thank you very much. You said $1.86 billion collected in state TDTs in 23-24. As a comparison, can you tell me how much we collect in state sales tax? The 6% sales tax in 23-24?
You recognize.
I do not have that number in front of me. I'd be happy to circle back with you, though.
Okay, thank you.
Somewhere between 35 and 40 billion. Billion. 35 and 40 billion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In sales tax. Follow up, Representative? Representative Hart, you recognized?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you so much. And it was a lot. How can a TDT be levied? That was the page. I think my question was, and it was, does this mean that the funds can be used for other things? Because it said, put a list together in priority order of projects that you want to use for the revenues. So you can use it for anything other than the construction and some of those other things you levy.
So the list they put together is of authorized uses, things that fall within the categories that apply to their particular county, they would then put into their plan.
Ranking Member Escamani, you're recognized.
Thanks so much, Chair, and thank you, Kimberly, for that great presentation. I can tell you put a lot of time in it, so thank you, truly. A few quick questions, I'll go through the chair. The Floridians piece, I'm curious, do we have data on how many Floridians were paying a TDT in a county where they don't live? Because my assumption is that oftentimes there are staycations locally, but a lot of times it's folks traveling in-state. Do we track that type of data of just like the transient Floridians between counties?
You recognize?
I do not know what that breakdown is. I think people staying in their own county is probably a fairly small percentage, though.
Okay. And another question, Chair.
You recognize.
Thank you so much. Just looking at local decision-making, what is that process like? And is that enumerated in Florida law, or do locals have their own structure? But I'll tell you, in Orange County, there's a lot of projects that get proposed. So I'm curious, what is that vetting process like? And do we outline that, or is it locally decided?
You recognize.
So it, to some extent, it depends on what the tax is. The original tax is required to go through the Tourist Development Council in the county, at least for the initial plan of what they're going to do for those first couple of years, and then they typically continue to be involved in making recommendations for what the taxes will be used for. For the other taxes, it tends to be more related to what the county commissioners decide to do with those, what the governing board decides to do with them. But as those typically relate to larger projects, to facilities, they tend to kind of lock in pretty early on.
Okay, and then another follow-up, Chair, if I can.
You're recognized.
Thank you. The TDT councils, who typically appoints that? Is it county commissioners in most cases?
You're recognized.
Thank you. That's specified in the statute. I can read that to you, but different pieces and different representatives, I believe, are appointed by different bodies.
Okay, and then follow-up, Chair.
You're recognized.
Are term limits established for those individuals, or I guess what is that? Yeah, maybe if you can give us more details, that might be helpful.
Sure.
You're recognized.
So the provisions for this are actually within the ordinance subsection, so it's 125.0104 sub 4. They're required to create a Tourist Development Council in sub E of 4. It provides that the chair of the governing board or any member of the governing board as is designated as chair has to serve on the council. Two shall be elected by municipal officials. At least one must be from the most populous municipality in the county or sub-county special taxing district. Six shall be persons who are involved in the tourist industry and who have demonstrated an interest. Not less than three nor more than four shall be owners or operators of motels, hotels, that sort of facility. And they all must live in that county. So there's different provisions.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I have a few more questions, but I want to open up for members.
Other question? Oh, Representative Crucia, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for your presentation, Ms. Berg. I'm from Palm Beach County. We've got 19,000 hotel rooms, and I think we had 9 million visitors from out of the county to our county. Raised $83 million in TDTs. So we've got, it's good for us. And we use that money to fund sports centers and convention centers and other things. One of the bills that are being run this year requires a referendum to be for these TDTs to be reapproved every 6 years. And how does that affect the dollars that are being generated by the TDTs that are used and pledged to the bond issues? How's that going to affect future bond issues down the road?
You're recognized, but I think I'll take a stab at that. So currently in the tax package, it does exclude money that's currently bonded by one or three of the taxes that could be used to pay the bond, so that would take care of that issue.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
A little awkward here. I got to dance very lightly here.
No, you don't.
It sounds that's in consideration of current bonded pledged money. But have a, I'm referring to future bonds. And with only, if something's got to be approved for 6 years, usually these bonds are for longer periods of time than that. You're not certainly not going to fund a baseball stadium with 6 years of revenue. And so I'm just wondering how that affects future bonds.
It could have an effect on future bonds.
Thank you. No further.
Questions, members? Campbell, don't be shy. No. Ranking member, you're recognized.
Thank you so much. I'm just curious if you have any insight to the 40% limitations that exist in the public facility statute. Why 40%? What brought the legislature to that number?
You're recognized.
I was not part of those discussions. You might want to check with the member that filed that bill and see if they could provide some insight, maybe.
All right, and then follow up, Chair, if I can.
You're recognized.
I appreciate the history on the TDT. I'm curious, how does that coincide with the creation of Visit Florida? Do we know when was Visit Florida created? How have their budgets intersected, if at all? I'm curious of just, you know, simultaneous growth. Like, how much are we spending a year on Visit Florida compared to TDT generation, I guess, is the heart of my question.
You're recognized.
So I can't speak to the history of Visit Florida or what their budget looks like. The TDTs are used for local tourism promotion. I suppose it's possible some of these local counties could be choosing to send money to Visit Florida, but I believe in general they're using it to do their own promotion through their own agencies.
Follow-up, Chair.
You're recognized.
Talking about the locals, what happens if someone uses, if a local government uses money inappropriately? So we talked about just the complexity of these different options. I assume there might be a situation where a county maybe funds something that the tourism industry is like, whoa, that's not in the statute. Maybe there's a disagreement over that. Can you walk me through what would that process be to manage that conflict?
You're recognized.
It's not specified in the statute. I believe there have been some court cases. I believe there have been some attorney general opinions trying to get at how things should or shouldn't be handled. But I don't know that the statute speaks to how that should be handled specifically.
Okay. And another on that line of thought. So we've had debate over the years over just the definition of promote. Is that defined in law, or are we more reliant on just, you know, case law or just precedent, if you will? But when we say promote tourism, you know, what would be your interpretation of that?
You recognize.
So the statute defines promotion as marketing or advertising designed to increase tourist-related business activities. I think that's usually kind of used as the foundation.
Representative Roth, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know if you know this or not. I'm just curious. Since we have the numbers for each different TDT, you know, $709 million for the original, do we have any efficiency numbers, like what percentage of that $709 million collected under that TDT went to operational or administration or collect or, you know, do we have any numbers like that?
You recognize.
So we would have to look at county budgets to see what they were actually doing. The statute does limit it to 3% of what the collections are. I believe in most counties it's far less.
So the...
You recognize.
So you're saying that the, it's limited to 3%. Okay, thank you.
You recognize, yeah. Mm-hmm. Follow up.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
This may be out in left field a little bit, but I'm following Caruso's lead. Reed, right? Right, Caruso. So do we anticipate, Chair, do we anticipate, Kim, that if we look at TDTs and sunsetting them in 6 years, the possibility part of the scenario might be different time frames for different TDTs, like maybe the original would have a longer time frame?
You're recognized.
I mean, I think that's really a policy decision. So I think that's up to the members.
Members, I think, again, I think that's part of the reason for the workshop is just to let you start thinking about some of these things and how they affect individual counties and that kind of stuff. But ranking member, did you have another question?
I do, but I'm trying to keep in the framework that you're setting, Chair, so I'm thoughtful to that. I guess I'm just curious, when the TDT was first created, did anyone expect for it to be you know, this popular as a usage, but also this much revenue? Like, what were expectations compared to reality?
You're recognized, and you can, answer that question.
Thank you, Chair. The fiscal note for the original bill from 1977 believed that if all the counties levied the 1% tax, it would be about $15.5 million statewide. If they all levied the 2% tax, it would be about $31 million statewide. Adjusted for inflation, that's about $165 million a year.
Representative Tant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Is there any mechanism that basically reviews how the TD, the Tourist Development Commissions or councils are operating and if they're doing it efficiently and effectively? And the reason I ask the question is that in a couple of my smaller counties, they're having trouble with quorums because some of them require two owners of heads and beds, one of them has a campground owner. And the problem is there's not two people who live in the county because they don't really have hotels that are owned by people locally. So is there anybody that's looking at that? Is there any statutory framework for that anywhere to review those things?
You're recognized.
I think that could potentially be part of this discussion. I don't think there's anything in the statute that contemplates that right now.
Ranking member, you're recognized.
Thank you so much. Remind us, do you have to spend everything you earn, you generate within that fiscal year? Or, you know, do dollars roll over? Like, what does that look like for local governments?
You're recognized.
The statute is silent to that.
Follow-up, Chair?
You're recognized.
So I assume it just varies per municipality?
Oh, you're recognized.
By county, I believe it does. And I think to some extent it depends on what they're doing. To the extent most of it is bonded out, I think most of it's going to go out for those payments. So it really depends.
Yes, Mr. Chair. So then where does the money go?
You recognize?
If we don't spend it all, there's no requirement.
I believe most of the counties do spend most of their money. I mean, I haven't looked at bank accounts. I haven't done a survey of local governments. There may be representatives here that can speak to that more effectively. I imagine most of them are using at least most of the money, but again, that's not something as staff we necessarily have access to.
Members, as Kimberly said at the beginning, there is an appendix attached to the presentation. If you want to kind of see what your county's doing or whatever, you can by individual county. So, and it'll tell you how many taxes have been enacted and different things. But anyway, any more questions, members? Currently? Okay. Kim, thanks again. Members, I am going to open this up to the public. Mark Jeffries, Orange County. You're recognized.
Good afternoon, Chair. Thank you and members. Thank you for letting me speak today. I'm Mark Jeffries, an employee of Orange County. Orange County is proud to be one of the top tourist destinations in the world. Tourism is a $75 billion industry, accounting for approximately 24% of Orange County's the jobs in Orange County. The county levied the first 2 cents in 1978. As part of the plan, to build the Orange County Convention Center, which opened in the early 80s with about 325,000 square feet. Today, the center is a 7 million square foot complex, and we levy the full 6 cents. In addition to the Convention Center, TDT enables facilities and tourism-related efforts like the Dr. Phillips Performing Arts Center, Camping World Stadium, the Kia Center, formerly the Amway Center, Visit Florida, and Florida Citrus Sports. Funds also have benefited institutions like the Winter Park Library, Orlando Ballet Center, Orlando Philharmonic Plaza Live, and the Orange County History Center. We do big things, and sometimes they take a while to finance. In 2023, Mayor Jerry Demings developed a citizen-led task force to review and provide input to the Board of County Commissioners and the Tourist Development Council for uses of future unencumbered TDT revenues. The community submitted about 55 different projects with a combined price tag of $3.8 billion. Obviously, most of that will not get funded. And you will remember last week, Representative Escamani had an amendment which would have allowed, it was on the tax package, would have allowed the counties to levy a tourist impact tax to spend on affordable housing. That also came as one of the recommendations from this task force. When it comes to TDT funding, we know that there are many competing interests. Orange County is very aware of the need to balance the needs of our existing investments with emerging needs within the allowable framework. And we look forward to participating in any future discussions for the TDT, and I thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark. Mark, we do have a question by Representative Roth.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure, you may have said it and I missed it. Thinking in terms of a cost-benefit analysis, you know, so I think you were talking about Orange County, right?
Yes, sir.
So my thought was, you said 70 million square feet of the Orange County Convention Center, how much it's grown and all that. Can you give us any numbers that says this is what we've collected in tourist development taxes, and then we have done this, this, and this, and then therefore we feel like there's been an economic benefit to Orange County by tourism? You follow what I'm asking?
I follow what you're asking. I don't know like a total amount. I know last year, I believe we collected something like $359 million, I believe, in tourist development taxes. We do, in answer to another question, we do, we are allowed to put some of that toward reserves, which was drawn down over some of the past economic times. But I can find out more information from the people who know such things.
You recognize
if I could follow up, the way I'm thinking about it is maybe you can do some calculations that says, okay, we collected $359 million, and that was 5 cents, and so therefore we generated, you know, this many dollars in that was tourist-related income to the county and da-da-da. You follow what I'm asking?
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it. Thank you. And tell me your name again, please.
Mark Jeffries. Mark Jeffries.
Jeffrey, okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
And Chair, I'm happy to help answer that question, too, if I may.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, awesome. And I want to say thank you to Mark for providing that great testimony, because to your point, Representative Roth, you know, tourism is a major economic engine for us, without a doubt. We have many large businesses and small businesses that are clearly connected. And I think there's a lot of value to destination marketing. The debate we always have is who funds it, right? But to that point, part of the challenge we have in Orange County is that facilities breakdown that was provided that I asked a question about, the 40% requirement. So we can't spend any of that money on other public infrastructure that benefits tourism unless we spend 40% of that 330 some million on promotion of tourism, which I think we all agree, out of $300 some million, that's too much. That we don't need that for advertising. We need that for other expenses, but we are restricted in our ability to use it for something like commuter rail or workforce housing, because we don't hit that 40% threshold. So we've had a lot of great dialogues locally. We value the impact of tourism, but we also carry a lot of the weight for the region, in the sense that our workforce is mostly minimum wage jobs that maintain that economy. So their needs are huge, and yet we don't have the infrastructure to meet that demand, which is why the citizen-led board has really been exploring different alternative approaches.
Thank you. Mark, thank you for your testimony. I appreciate it. Bob McKee, Florida Association of Counties. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair McClain, members of the committee. I am Bob McKee with the Florida Association of Counties. First, I want to say I have a lot of history related to the tourist development tax. I was with the Association of Counties from 2000 to 2006, where I represented them on finance and tax issues, including the tourist development tax. I was also the chief economist of the Department of Revenue from 2010 to 2020, during which period of time I actually certified eligible, some of those high tourism impact counties. We also annually would forecast the county-by-county revenues the counties would use in their budgets for the, not the actual revenues, but the tax base for tourist development tax, and those would be used by the local governments and their local budgeting. I want to step back for a minute, and it's important to think about tourist development taxes within the context of the broader local government financial structure. At the local level, we are very siloed in the revenue sources we have. Ad valorem is our primary source, but we cannot bond it without a referendum. So it's our largest source, but as a result, it ends up being primarily an operating source. When we look at our state-shared revenues, those are very valuable in that some can be used for operating, some can be used for pledging and infrastructure. And then our local option sales taxes are also very important in that arena because some can be, those that are go to referendum can be bonded and could provide for some of those large infrastructure as well. And so when we look at our entire structure, it's important to understand tourist development taxes are a very big piece of that. They're a partnership first with our hotel and lodging industry. The history on this is we are tied together and that they came and recommended that their customers be taxed, and a major part of the tax still goes towards that promotion. I think it's important to understand what promotion does for the state of Florida. There is not a single dollar locally that comes in that does not also come in for sales tax. So it's important for you to understand that. But the degree of advertising that takes place locally is to a much greater dollar amount than Visit Florida spends every year. So it's important to understand the degree of tourism promotion that takes place at the local level that also benefits the state. Additionally, when we build these pieces of infrastructure that are designed and closely related to tourism, the things you heard were stadiums, convention centers, museums, aquariums, zoos, things that draw admissions. Again, something that is taxable for Florida sales tax, not taxable for tourist development tax. I think the estimate generally for state sales tax is about 17% is generated by tourism, which is about a $6 billion or so out of the state's $35, $36 billion in sales tax. So it's important to recognize the importance of that. Where the tax has been amended over the years, I think a lot of the reason for the sort of the segmentation and the targeting of the various amendments is that this is a tax that the, again, the hotel lodging industry has been very protective of in staying towards that original mission, and that where they've been willing to look at things outside of the traditional tourism promotion, it has been things that are closely connected to the tourism industry. We understand that, and we work with them where we have issues in the state, where we think there might be a need to look to those dollars to address them. And it's always our goal to come to you with those proposals jointly, rather than to come up here and have a fight on those areas before the legislature. I would like to make a clarification at one point. All of these tourist development taxes were voted on. Yes, only the first two had referendum requirements, but the remainder were all voted on at the local level by the elected local representatives, just like the state sales tax was voted on by the representatives of the state of Florida at the legislative process. So all of them were subject to a vote. I just wanted to make that clarification. These are important revenues. Tourism is the lifeblood of Florida, and it's important to us to continue to be able to make those taxes work for Florida's economy. And I'll be happy to take any questions.
Representative Roth, any questions?
Representative Campbell, I'm not listening to you, haha. So you said to a vote, but I think what you meant was not a referendum vote, a vote of county commissioners or whatever.
Yes, they were voted on by the local elected representatives in a representative form of government.
Right, thank you.
Representative LaMarca, your rep.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Bob, question for you, and I agree with you there. Tourism is the lifeblood of many of our communities. I guess the question is, when we hear things being proposed, housing and many other things, I know there's a way to draw a nexus to just about anything. If we're talking about tourism being a lifeblood, how do we get to a point where we're bringing all these other topics up instead of marketing and advertising and possibly the things we saw up there. And in my county, for example, it's marketing, advertising, and beach renourishment. Can you maybe give us a little bit of background on, you know, how other topics come into that? I know I heard from the ranking member that there's a significant amount of money there, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you don't stop marketing and advertising for the lifeblood of your economy.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Representative Lamarca. First on where the expansions have been away from the tourism promotion with respect to the six tourist development tax pennies, those have still stayed fairly close in nexus to the to tourism, either with policing protection that's necessary, some of the big infrastructure. Where the recent conversations have focused have not been on the tourist development taxes, the original six pennies. It's been on the tourist impact tax, which is a separate penny that today only Monroe County has been authorized. I believe the conversations in Orange County were specific to that additional penny, the tourist impact tax, that was not part of the presentation today.
Thank you, Bob. Bob, thank you for your testimony this afternoon. Jennifer Green, Florida Attractions Association. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm here representing Florida Attractions Association, who's been around since 1949. And when you think of attractions, I think you think of four big ones. And I think you know who those are if you've been in Florida. But let me give you some names of some of these attractions that are beneficiaries of the advertising of the tourist development taxes. They don't have the budget to be able to advertise on their own. So places like an Arcadia Canoe Outpost, the Clearwater Marine Aquarium, Murakami Museum and Japanese Gardens in Delray Beach, other places like the Imaginarium Science Center in Fort Myers, Zoomer's Amusement Park, Adventure Landing and Shipwreck Island Water Park in Jacksonville, and of course Gatorland, if anyone knows, you've been to Gatorland when you were a little kid. But again, all these are more than 100 organizations, we'll call them smaller attractions, that again are bringing tourists to Florida because the marketing that's happening is something they could not do on their own. So they're highly dependent. These are not folks that are making decisions about the tax. They are the beneficiary of the bed tax. Happy to answer any questions.
Questions, members? Representative Crusoe, you're recognized.
More of a comment, Mr. Chair.
Hold those for a few minutes.
Okay.
Please. Sure. You're recognized.
Thank you so much for being here. I guess I'm curious, and this might be way too wonky, so we can talk later too, but when you're deciding your marketing campaigns, is there ever a fear of, like, diminishing return? So a area gets so saturated that, you know, there's no need to put more money into. Maybe you have to reevaluate where else to put money. How do you make those decisions on, you know, this is an area where we've reached saturation. We no longer market towards this area. How do you make those decisions as a unit?
You recognize.
That's really not a decision a recipient, a beneficiary like this would be making. That would be your local tourist development council. But I can tell you, after about a decade of representing these folks, I've never heard them say that they didn't want more advertising.
Thank you. Representative Banks, and you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What's the target market for these? How big are we spreading the net? Are we, you know, obviously within our own states, but are we going international, Europe? Are there specific targets that we're going after?
Mr. Chairman,
you recognize.
I can tell you the stats that we've heard over the years is that, for example, entities like Brazil, countries like Brazil are high tourist folks. The international, I think, is going to be dependent on what Visit Florida does. I mean, this is local. This is for within that county. It probably is statewide. It could be national, depending on if there's advertising that you can piggyback onto. But we're not talking about promoting, and again, I'm picking on Gatorland just because they're one of the oldest, promoting Gatorland to someone in Brazil. It's a different situation.
Representative Tant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You mentioned that the tourist development dollar tax dollars that are used for advertisements do for you what you could not do for yourself. Has anyone ever run the numbers on what, in the absence of these dollars, what these private businesses with the attractions would have to pay?
You recognize.
Mr. Chairman, we do have anecdotal. I don't know that there's a large formula, but we can tell you those that, again, are beneficiaries, probably some of the smaller ones. South Florida is a great example. We've got, like, Sawgrass Recreation Park, and it's airboat tours, whatnot. There's 75 employees, and the answer from their CEO, who's a young female, has said, we could never bring the folks that are coming, we could never pay to advertise this cooperative advertising that adds on top of itself to be able to actually bring individuals in.
Representative Roth, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure if I'm asking the right persons, but I'll try, right? Two thoughts crossed my mind lately. One of them is Miami International Airport, both cargo and personal transportation has had a big increase compared to pre-pandemic. And the second one is the idea of Brightline trying to connect tourists where they can come to Miami and also go to Disney World by train. Can you give me any insight into that? What are the tourist development people talking about that's the big draw or could be a bigger draw for the state of Florida? Is it that Miami-Orlando connection? And that it, you understand my question?
Mr. Chairman, I do, you're right. I'm not the right person. I can't answer that for you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Jennifer, thank you for your testimony today. We appreciate it. Russell Dawes, Tallahassee Museum. Mr. Dawes, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chairman McLean, fellow members of the committee. It's a pleasure to have the opportunity to talk with you. I serve as the president and CEO of the Tallahassee Museum here in Leon County. I've done that for 33 years, but I've also had the pleasure of serving on our Leon County Tourist Development Council for a total of 11 years, nine of them as the chair of the TDC. What I hope to do today is to help answer some of the questions you might have on how the TDCs operate, at least from Leon County, and many of them are similar, how TDT dollars help the arts and cultural communities, and more specifically, the impact of those dollars on my institution. You had a wonderful presentation by Ms. Berg, and it saved me a whole lot of discussions. But I think as a leader of a small cultural organization from a county that isn't Orlando, isn't Miami, we're small, we don't have any beaches here, but the TDT dollars are instrumental in us generating economic development through tourism and creating jobs. Here locally, our TDC work is done through Visit Tallahassee, and that's a division of Leon County government. We at the TDC review, approve, sometimes help develop strategic plans, the marketing plans, the operational plans. We approve, review all contracts. We also look down the road to some of the things you all talked about. What's the future hold? How can we increase our tourism potential? Here in Leon County, we collect five pennies. About $8.25 million of TDT tax collection is spent, or is collected. The majority of those dollars are spent on tourism promotion, encouraging Tallahassee, Leon County to be a marketing destination. Now, we also use some of those TDT dollars to attract sporting events at both the high school, collegiate, and amateur levels. We just recently hosted the high school Division III championships at FAMU's campus, and we're very involved in helping make that run very smoothly. We do occasionally use TDT dollars for construction infrastructure. Our wonderful Cascade Park, which is just around the corner for the Capitol, the amphitheater there where we host nationally traveling musical events was made possible through TDT dollars. We have what's really become a world-acclaimed cross-country course here in town, and we will be hosting World International Cross-Country championships in the years coming. That course could not have happened without TDT dollars. And kind of on the side, that used to be the Leon County dump that got reclaimed and is now greatly sought after by cross-country runners. We do special event grants. These grants fund a wide variety of events to bring tourists to Leon County. It may be music, it may be sports, it may be cultural. We just hosted the Scottish Highlands Games. TDT helped fund those aspects. But again, the majority of our dollars go to destination marketing, marketing efforts. In terms of the cultural community, TDT, which is kind of unusual among TDCs across the state, we've allocated one penny of our five pennies to help support the arts and cultural organizations. All of those pennies go to grant programs. These grant programs must fund applicants that have a primary purpose of attracting tourism outside of Leon County. As Ms. Berg mentioned, museums such as mine, we have a little more latitude in the expenditure of those funds that will help support our programs because, frankly, honestly, TDT funds have really helped my institution to where 40 to 50% of my visitation annually are from outside Leon County, are technically tourists. And they spend a significant amount of dollars, not just with my institution, but lodging, restaurants, retail, other attractions. As I said, all of the money that goes to the cultural community is rigorously reviewed by the TDC and ultimately by Leon County Board of County Commissioners. From my institution, TDT dollars basically supplement my operating budget, especially in my marketing area. We do a very good job with our dollars marketing the museum locally. TDT dollars help me extend that marketing into our region, our state, and to a certain degree, the Southeast. For instance, we run a big arts and crafts show annually with support from TDT dollars for marketing. It's one of the top shows in the country, and last year, we generated 1,500 room nights and about $5 million of economic impact with a TDT grants of about $50,000. So return on investment was very important for that. We've also benefited at my institution with some construction dollars. We're opening a new alligator exhibit early March. It's about a $1 million project, of which TDT funded about $225,000. To me and my institution, those TDT dollars are more important to me for leveraging the private sector dollars. Obviously, I'm not going to turn them away because they are important, but when I talk to our private donors and they know that TDT dollars and our county board of commissioners and tourist development council are supportive, it helps generate their interest. That's the conclusion of my talk. I'm open for any questions you may have.
Thank you, Mr. Dawes, for those comments. We do have a couple of questions. Representative Roth, you're recognized.
Yes, sir. This may be out of bounds a little bit, but being you are Leon County, it's just really exciting to ask this question. So does, because I'm a Florida Gator and I pay season tickets, and I don't know where all the money goes. So if you're a Seminole and you have season tickets, or you buy a ticket, is that taxed and go to the TDT? Is there a TDT tax on football tickets?
You're recognized.
To my knowledge, there is not. I know from a TDT standpoint, we do not tax any of the tickets. Now, people coming to town for lodging, we certainly collect in that regard. And you can come and see our alligators, since you're a Gator fan.
Representative Sheroy, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm curious, what was the Leon County Tourist Development Council's involvement with the Doak Campbell renovations and expansion? And then my second part of that question would be, are you part of the Blueprint Intergovernmental Agency?
You're recognized?
The TDT dollars were not involved in any of the Doak Campbell Stadium construction, and as you inferred, that was a Blueprint project.
You're recognized for follow-up.
I'm curious as to the TDC's justification for taking that position, when I would think that Doak Campbell would be likely the largest venue in the northern half of Florida. Did the TDC not see a return on investment in helping with that project?
You're recognized.
To be honest, we weren't asked. Now, had we been asked, we would have to go through the whole review process. But now we have made support of FSU in other ways. Concerts at Doak Campbell Stadium, we've helped support.
You're recognized.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. So I just want to be clear. So the TDC, you know, pitches in with the Arts and Crafts Fair, but the Doak Campbell Stadium, which I would think is the largest event venue in this part of the state, had no support from the TDC, that largely benefits from the visitors of this area that come to see events at Doak Campbell Stadium. Is that fair to say?
You're recognized.
I think it is fair to say that we recognize the value and importance of Doak Campbell Stadium and its contributions to our bed tax collections. But again, we tend to respond to requests for funding. And in this case, FSU felt that their blueprint approach was a much more valuable approach to take, especially when you consider our annual bed tax collections are $8.25 million, and Blueprint was able to provide $20
million. Mr. Dawes, thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Eric Gray. You're recognized.
Thank you, Chair McClain. Thank you also for the wisdom of putting together this informational session. I think it's very important. I agree with you, so thank you for doing that.
Yes, sir.
I said, my name is Eric Gray, and professionally, I serve as executive director for the Christian Service Center in Orange County. We're a nonprofit working to help individuals experiencing homelessness. And as a volunteer, I'm honored to serve currently as the board chairman for the East Orlando Chamber of Commerce. I'm very pro-business and appreciate all of your support in helping our business community. This last year, I was one of 35 Orange County residents asked to serve on Orange County Mayor Jerry Deming's Tourist Development Tax Advisory Task Force, which was referred to earlier. I'm here today not as a representative of that task force or the chamber or even my organization, but really just as a representative of the state of Florida, as an 8th-generation Floridian on both sides of my family, originally hailing from Franklin County, raised in Duval County, Leon County, Hillsborough County, where I was a Tampa Chamberlain chief, went to school at a tiny university in Gainesville, where I was drum major of a band there, so we had probably seen each other before. And just really think this is an important issue to reflect on. As you know, we're blessed to be a state with amazing numbers of visitors. And as you've heard, over 134 million people visited our state just last year. More than half of those, 55% of all the visitors to Florida last year visited the Orlando metro area. So this is an incredibly important issue to Central Florida in particular. Just to put it in context, we had 75 million visitors last year. Paris, France had 34 million visitors last year. This is not small-time ball. We are in the big leagues worldwide. We are not the number one tourist destination on the planet, but we are by far the number one tourist destination anywhere in the United States. According to the American Hotel and Lodging Association, domestic travelers stay on average 5 nights in any destination they travel to in the U.S. Foreign travelers, about 9 nights. If you just use the domestic numbers, that means in Orlando tonight, in addition to the 2.4 million residents that call my community home, we will have an additional 1,030,000 visitors sleep in beds tonight. 1 million additional people on top of 2.4 million that call it home. So there's no question for this committee to answer more important than what I think is this question. Do tourists take showers? Do they, when they visit, do they flush toilets? Do they drive on streets? Do they rely on police, fire, emergency services when necessary? And these are just a few of the important questions to consider when evaluating state statutes originally crafted almost 50 years ago when our visitation numbers were but a tenth of today's total. 1977, somebody asked earlier how many people visited the state of Florida. It was 19 million when we first did the statute. We reached 19 million visitors 2 days ago in the state of Florida since January 1st. When we look at other major tourism centers in the United States like New York, New Orleans, Honolulu, LA, San Francisco, Atlantic City, and Las Vegas, communities in Florida stand alone in that Florida is the only major destination that still restricts expenditure of its hotel taxes strictly to the promotion and infrastructure investment for the tourism sector alone. We are the only major destination where that is the case. In fact, less than 40% of all tourism-related taxes in the U.S. go towards tourism promotion and infrastructure investment, whereas in Florida, it's 100%. Most commonly, these revenues go directly into state, county, or municipal general revenue funds. More and more states and communities are recognizing the downstream impact from tourists visiting their area, including the impacts I alluded to earlier on public transit, on public safety, and the need for additional sewer and water capacity, affordable housing for hospitality workers, as well as to counteract the growing number of homes built in our communities simply to welcome visitors through newer companies such as Airbnb and Vrbo. Great companies, but they have an indirect impact on our overall housing programs in the state of Florida. Increasingly, states and communities need to find ways to address these impacts. Even though Florida's tourist development tax rates are exactly the national average at 6%, among other states when you compare, I'm not asking for an increase in the tax, but rather simply to either in this session or in future sessions, begin to allow a portion of the taxes collected to be used to address the added strain on our community's infrastructure and to keep the cities and the counties and our state hospitable, not just to our visitors, but to our residents as well. We need to move to radical hospitality. That's what they teach us at the Rosen School for Hospitality Management at the University of Central Florida. But radical hospitality isn't just for people who come from out of state. Radical hospitality should include every single person in this room, every single person that calls Florida home. There are many common sense advancements that can be considered for the current TDT statute now or in the future. As mentioned in the presentation that was great earlier, thank you for that, it was really well done. There is an independent economic analysis actually required in the statute today for any projects where you are spending money on public transportation or water and sewer or any other provision, am I correct? That's required today. But it's not required for any tourism expenditure. So my question is, why would we require independent economic analysis for a $10 million water treatment facility on International Drive, but not for a $500 million convention center on International Drive? Why would we not expect the same level of economic analysis, and why would it not be independent? During our 2023 TDT Task Force meetings, I made this point that investing without analysis is really no better than gambling. I gave a nice lottery ticket for the $800 million Mega Millions jackpot that week to the county, just to emphasize the point. We're not looking at analysis of economic impact for massive, almost $1 billion worth of investment just in Orange County alone. We're committing 30 years of revenue to projects that are amazing and will have amazing impact on our state, on our region, on our communities, except we don't know exactly how much impact, and we don't require independent economic analysis. So a simple change to the statute of the existing wording, just to say this applies to all projects of over $10 million or $20 million, could be done very simply during this session. Also, simply because an entity is profitable doesn't necessarily mean it's also a great investment for the community. And what I mean by that is, while I love Universal Parks and Resorts, the profits from that organization go to NBC Universal headquartered in Philadelphia. While I love Walt Disney World Parks and Resorts and have many friends who work there, the profits from that entity go to Anaheim, California. For Holiday Inn, they go to Memphis, or for IHG hotels to Atlanta. Orlando is the largest metro area in the United States without a single Fortune 500 company headquartered there. We've become somewhat of a timeshare community of timeshare communities. People are benefiting from their investment, but that profit is going elsewhere. And the jobs that they're hiring, which are touted and important, and as earlier said, take up almost a quarter of all employment in the community, are unfortunately, according to an FSU study, that was released in 2019, the lowest wage jobs anywhere in the United States. So there's nothing wrong with the tourism industry, and it's fantastic for us to have it. I just think we ought to be a little bit smarter about how we benefit from it. Marketing and promotion in the state statute should be more clearly defined. I had a few marketing classes at the university in Gainesville, and my understanding of marketing is it isn't just advertising. I believe there were five P's: product, promotion, placement, pricing, and promotion. Yet we have defined it somewhere in the statute. We have sort of self-defined that marketing promotion is limited to only expenditures through Visit Florida or Visit Orlando. That is not defined in the state statute, yet we have self-imposed that ourselves. Isn't marketing, when you decide to build a convention center in a community, isn't that intended to promote the community and get people to come? Isn't that marketing by itself? Yet we don't consider that. So we already, and by my definition, and by the definition of the statute, meet the 40% provision, yet we choose not to do it, in part because we have committed to billions of dollars worth of projects over the next 3 or 4 decades. And it really puts us in a bind, not only as a community, but as a state, because one of our biggest profit centers is the beautiful weather and destinations here, yet we're not benefiting from it. In the same way that Western African countries don't really benefit when China comes in and starts to take all of their natural resources either. Now, I'm not comparing our industries in the same way, but it is a problem when we have the companies that are earning profits are taking them outside of the state of Florida. So I'm not usually one to believe in silver bullets, but the importance of properly managing the collection and expenditure of this revenue just cannot be overstated. And I made the trip up here today simply because the vast importance of considering how TDT revenues are collected and expended could be one of the most critical things that this body works on over the next 30 years, because it's so unique to the state. Because as I said, almost 3 times as many people visited Little Orlando, Florida, who without Disney would just be Ocala, no offense. Ocala's a beautiful community.
I'm offended.
But 3 times as many people visited than Paris, France. And that's a big deal. And we should all be benefiting. We should all be basking in the gloriousness of that. And this should be a boom state because of it. And all of our citizens should be benefiting from it. And I think we have the opportunity to do that if we just look at reimagining how we manage the tourist development tax overall. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Gray, for your comments. We appreciate it. Thank you. That is everyone that signed up to speak. Is there anyone in the public that wanted to speak that didn't get to? All right, seeing none. Members, I will give you a short leash if you want to make a comment. Try to keep it to the subject. Rep. Caruso, did you want to make a comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just, Ms. Green was up there speaking about the small attractions throughout our state. And I was fortunate enough 2 Sundays ago to go to Weekiwachi and watch the mermaids. And I found out that it's a state park, and it was packed, and they had to turn away people to see the show and until the next show. So and that's it. So our dollars are working.
Thank you. Ranking member.
Thank you so much.
For 30 seconds.
I'll keep it brief, sir. I know everybody's ready to get out of here, so I appreciate y'all. And I really want to say thank you to everyone in the public that spoke to. Really insightful testimony. So thank you for being there and in your communities and here with us today. And I want to thank the chair for having this conversation, because it's very important to all of us, and especially for those of us who represent parts of Orange County. It's an issue of local concern, but the state plays a big role in that. And I do want to encourage us, we go into whether the end of this session or next sessions, to think big and create creatively. We don't always have to do things the same way that they've always been done, especially if they're not working the way that it needs to work. And we didn't have a chance to talk about this too much, but I think it's worth exploring an analysis of the impact of tourism and the externalities of tourism to think about, you know, what are the average wages of our tourism workers? How many are part-time versus full-time? How many tap into SNAP, Medicaid, school readiness, other types of social welfare programs that we provide as a state? We need to have a serious conversation about that ripple effect. And I want to give huge kudos, because many of our large companies are playing a leadership role in building their own affordable housing, which is great to see. But that is going to be a drop in the bucket compared to what the need is. And Eric, who spoke, leads a local nonprofit Christian Services Center that is a drop-in for our housing secure community. A lot of those folks have jobs. They're working in tourism, but they just can't afford a place to live. And so it is really important for us to think about how we can ensure that every Floridian benefits from this and that folks don't get left behind. And so I'm hopeful for those future conversations and do appreciate everyone's engagement on this. Thank you.
Representative Roth.
Yes, sir, and I too want to compliment the chair for having this presentation today, and did a great job, Kim. I think we all are a little bit concerned talking about tourist development taxes. Kind of snuck up on me a little bit. $84 million to Palm Beach County is a big deal. We've talked about this as we've talked about vacation rentals and Airbnb over the years. And that's always been my concern, to make sure that Palm Beach County does collect the taxes. I'd hate to see people come to Palm Beach County and stay in a home and not pay taxes. So it's a big deal to Palm Beach County. It's a big deal to Florida. I appreciate the chair bringing this up, because in my mind, you know, we've also talked about this year a consumption tax. That was briefly brought up by Representative Chamberlain, the idea of maybe looking at going away from property taxes and going towards an additional sales tax. And so it does seem like there is maybe an intersection of thinking about, you know, is there too much? Can we tax people too much? And what's that going to be? I thought it was interesting, the number, I think the chair gave us, 30% of the sales tax is paid by the tourist. I think I heard that number. And that's a big number. I actually thought it was bigger, to be honest with you. But my point being is, I think we do need to look at when times are good, what we should be doing with our tax structure, rather than being in a crisis mode like we were back in 2008 with the Great Recession. So I think this is a great exercise, and I'm looking forward to coming back to Tallahassee in a couple years, and having more conversations. Thank you.
Representative Duggan, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for putting this on. It's great. Ms. Berg, outstanding. Thank you. Food for thought, process improvement, exempt Floridians from paying any TDTs, and then remove all restrictions on how it gets spent. Thank you.
Representative Tant, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to say thank you to my Tourism Development Council Director, Russell Dawes, for coming today. Russell is with the Tallahassee Museum, which when I moved here permanently 35 years ago was the Tallahassee Junior Museum. And so he's been here for a very long time, growing to meet the community's needs. And I love that you're a vocal voice on and leader in the tourism sector here. I will say that in regards to DOAC, our blueprint committee made up of our city and county commissioners chose to rebuild and renovate DOAC, much like they did the FAMU Stadium. And so that was a separate silo of dollars unrelated to our tourist development tax dollars here. And then finally, I would just like to say one of the beauties of the tourism development tax is that it makes Tallahassee and your own regions and your own communities helps make them a destination for people to move to, because there's so much wonder in Florida communities, and especially my own. And so what draws residents in are arts, and as well as sports, as well as museums to take their children to, and the enriching environment that we live in. So I'm very grateful for the work that our TDT's dollars go to. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Smith, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Just briefly, it's one of those things, is great briefs today, presentation, and everybody that spoke. I'm absolutely convinced you believe what you said. However, we do have infrastructure issues in Florida. We do have affordable housing issues in Florida. We have concerns over public transportation, sometimes often because they're fundamentally flawed on where those transportation areas run. But what I'm concerned about is that TDT is this pot of gold that people have their eyes on, and it's a convenient grab of money to say, oh, we need to change the legislation or the legislative intent has changed because it's convenient money. And we're not really addressing fundamental tax issues in Florida, fundamental issues like infrastructure and public housing that need to be addressed. But I think we're standing in the breach, in the legislature, standing in the breach sometimes of people who just want to reach out and grab the convenient pot of gold because they have a general revenue shortfall in their county, and they can talk themselves into why TDT should be spent on something that it was originally not intended for. So this has been a great presentation. I think the committee has done great work this year, but I'm very cautious about the expansion of what TDT would be authorized to use as we go forward. And I guess in closing, I just say, referendum every 6 years, that's too short. I hope we get someplace more reasonable. So thank you, Chair.
Whip LaMarca?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate you putting this together, and we heard a lot, and I think one of the things that we need to think about from a basic standpoint is that this, we heard marketing advertising over and over, and maybe we can come up with a significant percentage of the overall TDT that goes directly towards that cause, because we do want people to keep coming here. That said, I would just weigh in and say that folks back where I'm from have been very active on letting me know that the 6 year is a bit of an issue. I'll just say that. But from a standpoint of what we use it for, we do definitely need to make sure we have a dedicated marketing advertising source and resource for the state. I know that some people think that people just keep coming back to the same places, but it does take good marketing advertising. We have some of the best here in Florida.
Representative Killebrew, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Some of the money will go to the annual American Kennel Club confirmation show, the 21st through the 25th. There'll be 800 dogs here at the fairground. So if you don't have anything to do over the next 4 or 5 days, you can go down there and watch the dogs.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Valdez, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
That was free advertising, actually. You're recognized, Reverend.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I too want to thank staff and your leadership for bringing this very important workshop to all of us. I want to say that in March of 2023, Time Magazine rated Tampa one of the world's greatest places to visit. That's a big deal. And I'm concerned that part of the conversation that we haven't had here today is the cost of marketing, the cost of being able to reach out to some of these larger platforms that will help promote our great state in the world market. So I too am cautious. In Hillsborough County, in our district, Representative Hart, it was about $66 million that it was represented in our district. And that's a lot of revenue, like Palm Beach, and gosh, Miami-Dade is over $154 million. So it is a big chunk of money that is being generated from people that are coming to visit and enjoy the beauty and wonder of the state of Florida. So I'm looking forward to having continued conversation with each and every one of you and the chair to see how we can really be a little bit more thoughtful of some of the unintended consequences that we may have should we adopt the tax package the way it is. So I'm looking forward to having those conversations, and I sincerely want to thank staff and you, Mr. Chair, for your leadership in bringing this workshop forward. Thank you.
Members, anyone else? All right. Members, again, thank you for your participation today. Everyone in the audience who spoke, thank you for your participation. Mr. Gray, thank you for being here from Orlando. We appreciate it. Members, this is our last meeting. Mm-hmm. We don't have one. We currently don't have a slot scheduled for next week. So all the heavy lifting you all have done, and as It's been an honor for me to be the chair of the Ways and Means Committee for the past two sessions. I have thoroughly enjoyed the conversations that we've had. I've appreciated all the input that we've had when bills have been presented to this committee. Very thoughtful. Great debate has taken place here. I think that the citizens and the citizens of Florida are better off for the work that we've been able to accomplish. I think that we've still got work to do on our tax package this year. Again, I want to thank all of you, and it's been an honor for me to be able to be the chair of this committee. With that being said, nothing else on our agenda, it concludes our agenda, and Representative Valdez moves we rise without objection, so the meeting adjourned.